Welcome to the Thank You Rob podcast, episode number
32,
unofficially sponsored by Pearson Salted Nut Roll, made right here in St. Paul, Minnesota. Don't be a butthole, eat a Pearson Salted Nut Roll. You can check out past episodes of this show at thankyourob.com, where you can also check out my graphic design work, which is mind-blowing and life-altering, known as I Define Design. You can also check out my other podcast called Some People's Kids Podcast. While you're at it, check out this podcast on Fuzz Talk Radio at fuzztalkradio.com.
Hey, here we are. I'm here today. It's episode number 32, Primate. Primate's in the house.
This is my house.
Actually, it is your house. Yeah,
yeah, I live here.
Yeah. Did you build this house, though?
Bare hands, skins. No nails either. All Amish built. One day.
Mm-hmm. Primate. Correct spelling, P-R-H-Y-M-8.
Number eight. Get it straight. All I got to say is you enter that or anything close to that on Google, and I got it on lock.
Yeah, I got to say, it was pretty easy to find stuff. It was, actually. I was like, shit, how the hell do you spell that?
No.
But even if you ballpark it, you do find stuff. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's all good.
Google is really like, forgiving.
It's not like, don't trust this guy.
Mm-hmm. There's not too many. There's a prime, P-R-H-Y-M-E, and the number eight, actually, from Hawaii.
Hawaii?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Nice. So,
gonna have to fly out there and kick some ass, you know what I mean?
Or just befriend him.
Whatever. You know.
Prime eight. Yeah. Well, last episode, number 31, I had a gentleman by the name of Rapper Hooks.
Nice.
Yeah, we talked about his new album, All Black Jesus,
mm-hmm.
Which I think he actually just put up today.
Nice.
It's out now, and I downloaded it. I listened to a few tracks.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty dope.
Nice.
Good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Factor came out today, too.
I don't know what that is.
Factor's a producer on a label called Fake Four.
Okay.
He's produced a lot of cool projects for people like Mike and Nine. He just produced Mike and Nine's most recent album, Sovereign Soul.
Okay.
Which I encourage everybody to go learn every word to.
Every word?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Which you can't do because it's Mike and Nine, but it's like a lifelong project. And whatnot. Okay. Anyways, but Factor's a real dope producer, and he put together a real sick project that's like a storyline thing with different features from other MCs being different people in the story.
Right.
Yeah, it's really cool. So that came out
today,
too.
You don't hear much of that.
Right, right.
Remember Prince Paul?
Mm-hmm.
He did an album like that once.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it was like...
Through the art of storytelling, you know.
Yeah.
There's a couple out there. There's a couple.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
So I got a plug while we're at it here. There's a few things going on this weekend, all right?
Mm-hmm.
A few of them include you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But one of them is the Rapper Hooks CD release show, which is at First Ave. The Desdemona and Carnage EP, double EP release party.
Where's that one?
I shit. I don't
Ice
know.
House?
No, is it?
I don't know. That's what I thought you said.
No,
said,
I did not say it. I just said I shit.
Well, we might have just figured it out.
I don't want to misinform. If you're interested,
right,
look it
right,
up online.
Look it up.
And then you got a couple things, right? You got a freestyle deal going on.
Yeah, a little rap battle on Friday at the Nomad. Okay. The finals, actually, for the Duels of the Iron Mike is on Friday. So that's exciting. I made it into the finals with that.
Okay.
And then,
well
yes,
done.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. It was fun.
And then Sunday is the...
Meteor Mouth fundraiser show at Honey.
Okay.
At 9 o'clock. We got a whole slew of people coming out to play and help us raise some money for the album.
Okay.
Yep, people like Longshot, David Mars, Purgatory Amos, Mike Shank, and... Project 13, which is Capacities Group.
Yeah, live band.
Dem Atlas is who's in there. Okay. I got to give it props to Dem Atlas and dude. But Project 13, Def S of 420 All-Stars is playing it. Good Seed, my good buddy, is playing it. Idealab is playing it. My other group, Danger Dust, is playing it.
Okay.
We're going to cycle through a bunch of people. We're having live art and stuff, too, and just trying to raise a little money and have some fun and maybe play a couple songs with Cap out of the project and maybe listen to a couple as well. And
that sounds like fun.
Yeah,
that's what it sounds like to me.
Yeah, pretty much is what I do.
Well, when I hit you up to, because we we'd met at the Fine Line a couple months ago or something.
Yeah.
And I've been meaning to get you on on the show, and I finally hit you up on Facebook to see what you want to talk about.
Well, you contacted my manager, right?
Your manager, of course, yeah. And after we got the money situation squared away, it was like, okay, what should we talk about?
Which took some time on your end.
And he said, nothing personal, nothing to do with music, nothing to do with life, nothing to do with fish, not the band, like the... You know, fish.
Mm-hmm. Keep going.
No, you said you suggested a few things, and one of them was Danzig, the band or the man, Glenn Danzig. Either way,
It's really a way of life.
It really is, yeah. And that was probably one of the names that really stuck out to me, and it was like the furthest I've ventured from hip hop on this show is talking about Creedence Clearwater Revival with Mesh One. You know,
wow. I just played that for about 30 minutes at my dad's wedding.
Yeah? Killed some Creedence?
It. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
CCR,
I love
man.
Some CCR.
Bunch of military guys, so, you know, they
oh,
loved
yeah.
it.
Brings back flashbacks and NAMM.
I killed it. Yeah. They loved it.
Ironically, John Fogerty just released an album where he's re-recorded some old CCR songs with featured artists like Foo Fighters,
Whoa.
Kid Rock, some country.
That sounds dope.
It actually is pretty good, you know? Pretty much my taste of music is pretty much Southern rock and hip hop,
okay.
classic rock as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and I even venture into like some Frank Sinatra type stuff once in a while.
For women, or alternative motives. You know, you got to dabble in, you know, whatever everything, you know.
Right. Sometimes I come home with a nice glass of wine.
Right.
And just
throwing
you know.
Some Frank.
Yeah.
Can we be frank? I think that's where that term came from. Even.
So when you said Danzig, I was like, you know what? Yeah, let's do that.
I did that, yeah.
Yeah.
I was big into Danzig during, like, high school, with, like, the Misfits, Retro, Snowboarders, got me bumping it and whatnot. Mm-hmm. And, man, I found the band Danzig, which is, you know, Glenn Danzig's band before Misfits and kind of through it. You know, I'm not too sure on the specifics. But just really dope music, you know, really good.
Right.
When music is music, it doesn't matter what genre it is. Yeah. I played it for my aunt, you know, and she was like, yeah, it sounds like Jim Morrison. I love it.
So I knew of Danzig. I knew, of course, the song Mother, because that was like the big song.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to do some research to really dig into it. The only reason I knew of Danzig was I grew up with a buddy that I'm no longer friends with, but he was like the metal guy, you know. And so anytime we were riding in his car, it was like Pantera. Black Sabbath, Danzig, you know.
Mm-hmm.
What was some other bands like Sepultura, Soulfly, you know, stuff like
right,
that.
Right.
Which, you know what? It really broadened my horizons in music, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Which is cool. So now here we are talking about Danzig.
Yeah.
He would be proud of me, right? So I knew of the Misfits, right? That's where Danzig got his start. Glenn started the band The Misfits, and I had never heard The Misfits. Now that I even looked it up, I was like, what's their biggest song? I had to have heard it. No, I've never heard it. I'm not going to act like I know 100% what I'm talking about here. But I'd never even heard The Misfits. Of course, I'd seen like t-shirts.
Right.
You've seen like that skull logo all over the fucking place, you know, people wearing them. He found the band Misfits, and he moved on to a band called Sam Hain that he started. And during that time, this is where shit gets crazy.
Yeah. Nice.
Kind of cool. Full circle. You know Rick Rubin?
Mm-hmm.
Started Def Jam Records with Russell Simmons.
Yep.
He went off and started his own label that was originally called Def American Recordings or Def American. And he was a fan of Danzig, and he was like, you know what? I want to sign you to my new label, Def American. This was when he was with Sam Hain.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, I want to put together this almost like mega group, super group.
Mm-hmm.
And Danzig was like, well, I'm not going without the whole band, but at least one of the guys, and I don't recall the guy's name, but that's how Danzig, the band, started.
Nice.
With Def American, and because of Rick Rubin, essentially.
Nice.
I mean, I don't know if Glenn had this idea of, you know, I need to just start my own shit with my own name, but that's how it happened.
Well, they probably advised him, you know, I'm sure. We're like, this is what we're going to go with, what is you, and we're going to, you know. Yeah, that's some cool background info on
Erie Vaughn is the guy's name that he was like, this guy's coming with me, and then we're going to start the band.
Erie Vaughn.
Erie Vaughn.
That's a nice name.
Yeah. So they took that and they did their own thing. Blah, blah, blah.
Yep.
Danzig, the self-titled debut, 1988.
Okay.
Now, this is where it didn't make sense to me. I looked at that and I was like, 1988, because that's the song Mother is on that album. That's the album that I really knew.
Right.
And I was like, Jesus, 88? That wasn't when, like, the Mother video was on MTV and shit. That was when MTV played videos, you know?
Right.
While I look into it, that was actually, in 1993, they remade a few songs, Mother being one of them, a live version, and that's the video that they made the song for. So Mother, and it was called Mother 93, made the video, shit blew up, Danzig's all over the place. Cool fact about Danzig.
Wait on me.
Great way to name albums. Maybe you should take note. You've already recorded albums, so you basically would be starting, maybe recreate yourself.
Okay.
Danzig's albums are all called Danzig. Danzig 2, Danzig 3, Danzig 4, and from there on, kind of a page out of Led Zeppelin's book, really, but that's crazy. That keeps people interested. You know?
Yeah.
They're like, what's the next album called? Danzig 8?
It's the same story, same package.
Right.
No new tricks, right?
But there were some interesting little twists and turns in this little venture of old Glenn Danzig. In 1994, the band broke up. And this was after the Danzig 4 album. Glenn wanted to recreate the band, called in a gentleman by the name of Dave Grohl.
Mm.
You know him from Nirvana, now Foo Fighters?
Mm-hmm.
Dave Grohl turned it down. Turned it down.
Because
he wanted to do his own thing.
Right.
Probably worked out pretty good for him
yeah.
with Foo Fighters there.
I'd say.
But I thought that was pretty interesting.
Nice.
So I don't know who he enlisted from there, but he's obviously always been the lead singer and the head writer, Glenn. Some interesting facts of Mr. Danzig here. Did you know he is a teacher in the Jeet Kune Do martial arts and philosophy of life?
I did not know that.
Do you know what Jeet Kune Do is?
I don't. I'm mixture of maybe like
you're gonna know in a second. It's actually
taekwondo.
Yeah, it's the martial arts that Bruce Lee created.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Wow.
So I did. I wanted to see like, oh, who else is has done this? As far as famous people go, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
I could see that.
Yeah.
I could see that.
I think Kareem was actually in Enter the Dragon.
Enter the Dragon.
That's what it is. He was actually in that movie, and so was Chuck Norris.
Oh shit!
Yeah, a young Chuck Norris, big. You know, of course, he's got the perfect beard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wild.
Glenn Danzig, founder of, I believe it's called Verotic, a mature-themed comic book company founded in 1994.
Wow.
Are you into comics? You a comics guy?
No, I wouldn't say I'm a comics guy by any means. No.
Okay. I'd never heard of it before.
We have some comics around the house, though. Mm-hmm. Some comic books. We have this one that my buddy Maximilian gave me. That's a Pinocchio adult comic book, and it has no words, and it's all by pictures. So you just look at the pictures, and it tells a story. But it's all about like Pinocchio, like getting laid with these crazy chicks and lying his ass about it.
Right?
And shit.
Yeah,
it's
and funny. They can only imagine what he's doing with his nose then.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
I can use my imagination there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Apparently.
They'd keep asking him weird questions to make his nose longer while they're, you know, like.
That's crazy.
Are you 10 feet tall? He's like, uh-huh. She's like, he's like, are you 500 pounds? He's like, yeah. She's like, ah.
So I don't know how successful that is. I mean, it's an independent comic book deal, you know. He also has his own record label, which I believe just puts out Danzig albums. I couldn't find much on Evil Live Records is the name of that.
Really?
Danzig seems like kind
That's a palindrome.
Yeah, it is. Evil Live, you're right. You knew that without even seeing the word.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
You're fucking crazy.
Yeah.
You're crazy, man.
You got it.
Danzig's kind of, he gives this appearance that he's kind of an evil type guy, but I was reading an interview with him where he just basically said he's just a normal person that kind of balances out good and evil, the yin and the yang. Where he releases like this evil appearance in music, that's just how he gets that out. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
He's not a satan. He doesn't practice Satanism. You know.
Mm-hmm.
Although that's
people seem to...
A common misconception.
Right. Something that would kind of lead you to believe that is, are you familiar with the show Aqua Teen Hunger Force?
Yeah.
There was an episode. The name of the episode is called Cybernetic Ghost of Christmas Past from the Future. Right? You know who Carl is? He's the big... He's like the fat guy in the show.
Yeah.
Wife beater.
Yeah.
He was selling his house. His house was... It was possessed or something, and it was like the walls were bleeding.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's like, I got to sell this house. So he puts it on the market, and Danzig comes by. He voices himself in the show, this little cameo, and he's like, you know, he comes in, he tours the house, and he's like, how much? You know, and he buys it. That was the episode. You know, you could probably find that on YouTube. It was pretty funny.
Nice.
Something else I found. This is kind of crazy. You're familiar with the X-Men franchise? Movies, comics, mm-hmm. X-Men, Wolverine.
Right.
20th Century Fox wanted to audition Danzig for the role of Wolverine in X-Men. Wanted to, but he turned it down.
Wild.
I couldn't imagine that movie without Hugh Jackman playing right. as Wolverine. You know?
He just nails it.
Yeah, he does.
Yep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Nailed it.
Mm-hmm.
So I posted today that on Facebook that we were going to talk about Danzig.
Mm-hmm.
And... someone said, are you going to talk about the Northside Kings versus Danzig knockout? Are you familiar with this incident?
No.
July 3rd, 2004, in Arizona, a place called Tuba City.
Nice.
This band, Northside Kings,
uh-huh.
was opening for Danzig. Both of them are from New Jersey, ironically.
Mm-hmm.
The lead singer of the band, his name's Danny Marianino. There's a clip. You can find this all over YouTube. Mm-hmm. They're like... There's a confrontation in this hallway or something. Clear shot of like Danzig over his shoulder, talking with this Danny guy. And you just see Danzig say like, fuck you or something like that. And he pushes the guy and then the guy knocks him. They say knockout, but to me it looks like he just knocks him down with a punch. And then it just kind of breaks up.
Crazy.
But if you know anyone who's unfamiliar, just Google search Glenn Danzig. He looks like a big, I don't know how tall he is, but he looks very, you know, he's... He's fit.
Yeah,
you know? Like, I wouldn't fuck with the guy. He looks like the Undertaker. That's who he always reminded me of, the Undertaker, the wrestler.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
So, this guy, this is like a very well-known thing that this happened. The guy, Danny Marianino, actually wrote a book, and it's called Don't Ever Punch a Rock Star, a collection of hate mail and other crazy rumors. And you can buy this book. It just came out last year.
Wow. That's crazy.
And it's kind of interesting because it's not like... Yes, he is capitalizing on this incident that happened, but it really is a collection of the guy got a shitload of hate mail. You know, it's like for punching Danzig.
Their idol.
You know what I mean? Yeah, exactly. So, and that's pretty interesting. That's real. You know, people.
Right.
Because Danzig's kind of got this crazy.
Videos, man. Videos don't lie, no, dude. They're right. always there if you're caught doing something, man. Yep. People will see it for.
That's our society now.
You're. Tran children will see it. Tron children.
Tron children.
Yeah.
So VH1 actually called this one of the most shocking moments in rock and roll history right here. It was this punch.
Bam!
This guy clocking the guy. But look that up on YouTube if you're familiar.
I'll check it for sure.
Yeah. I mean, it's nothing special. It's really this guy.
I love seeing people get in fights, you know.
Who doesn't?
Bored is like, okay, let's kill 30 minutes.
So that's what I got about Danzig. Really, I can't quite say I know. I mean, he's got, what, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, probably like 11 albums of just Danzig, not including the Samhain and Misfits albums. I can't say, I've heard one album out of all those to really say I like one
Yeah,
song.
To be honest, I didn't know he had that many albums.
Oh, yeah.
I've heard a couple of them just that have been passed from friends, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Check out those other ones that he's got for certain.
Yeah. I'd say the most popular are the American Recordings ones, which is the Rick Rubin label.
Right.
That American Recordings was very famous for and well-known for their... I mean, they pushed a lot of big name...
Right, yeah.
I say that and I couldn't even name... Sir Mix-a-Lot was actually on American Recordings at one time.
Oh, no shit.
If I'm not mistaken with the big... Chief Bootnaka? Is that what the name of that? Chief Bootnaka? The one with whatever the hell? Like big butts and I can't...
Right.
That's terrible that I can't think of the name of that song. The song that's not Rumpshaker.
Right.
But anyways, so you're familiar with Mother, at least.
Right. Well, yeah.
I mean, of course.
Yep. Funny story about it is I somehow, somewhere, got like a t-shirt, a Glenn Danzig t-shirt that was, you know, had the big skull. And just said Danzig. It was a badass skull on it. That was cool.
I remember, was it like the goat type skull with the horns?
Yeah.
That was
Went to a CKY concert of all places. It was at the Mall of America, and they told everyone. Yeah, it was dope.
Yeah.
And it was free. It was just packed in that, you know, center area, the tall things where they have concerts, whatever. Yep. And the lady comes out before CKY gets on stage, and she's like, "No, no crowd surfing. Like, you will be thrown out. Whatever. And like, no slam dancing. This is the Mall of America." And so, like, I'm rocking out, dude, and like CKY like starts singing some of my favorite songs, and this dude just sees me like rocking out and being all into it, and he's like, "You want to go up, man? You want to go up?" You know, pointing to like crowd surf.
Yeah. Right.
And of course, I was like, "Fuck yeah!" You know. You know, this, you know, 17 and pissed off, you know, or whatever. However, I was younger than that. But anyways, I get up there crowd surfing, and I'm just, you know, throwing horns, rocking, like, I'm not supposed to do this, you know, my favorite song kind of shit.
Yep.
And the people, like, sheep just push me to the front, like she asked them to.
Yeah.
And so, of course, they push me to the front, and I flop down, and literally like 10 mall cops put their knee on the back of my head.
Wow.
Like, just boom, boom, boom. They're like ripping my necklace off and like forearm to the back of the head. Like, I was like, dude.
You gotta think this is like the most action they've seen in a while.
And like CKY shredding. Like, they're still shredding. And like,
that's the soundtrack to your beatdown.
Yeah, dude. Yeah. And they're pounding me in the back of the head and shit, saying, "Stop resisting." And I'm like, how am I resisting? I'm like, I'm not resisting. Boom, bam, you know? It's like, Jesus Christ. So they handcuff me, and like, they come through, like, Bam Margera's got like a camera in my face, getting handcuffed with the Glenn Danzig t-shirt on, you know, getting hassled by these mall cops. I get escorted through the whole Mall of America. See, now I'm guilty. Now the whole world knows it was me, because I'm actually kicked out of the Mall of America for life for this.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow. They,
you know.
So somewhere at the Mall of America is like a wall of people.
Oh,
that are,
yeah.
Not
there's a
welcome
book,
back.
Dude. You go in the dungeon of the Mall of America, dude, and there is a city council of a building down there.
Oh, yeah.
That is the inner workings. Because that place is a city, dude.
Right.
Yeah. It's not. It's bigger than a lot of cities. When the people are working in the places, its population is probably what, like 2,000?
Right, oh yeah, I suppose.
I don't know, 5,000?
Yeah.
So that's bigger than some cities even, you know, so you can imagine the shit that goes on that they have to deal with, let alone the people that are coming in and out.
So,
they have a wall of pictures of faces that are banned. Keep an eye out for, you know, this guy, whatever he is.
Do you think there's like the one mall security guy that's still working there? Because that was what, however many years ago?
Yeah. And that was probably 10 years ago.
He'll see you come in and he'll be like, "Wait a minute. I know you." He like,
right.
He goes down to this wall and he's like looking.
Flips back 10 pages.
Danzig.
10 pages.
There it is. Danzig t-shirt.
Yep, and then he'll tase me. Call the feds.
Yep, tase him. Tase him.
Yeah.
Get
him
off.
The new policy I hear in today's world is tase.
Just tase,
him. Yeah. Yeah, just that's actually the book, the handbook says just tase.
Wow.
I'm just kidding, I don't know.
I would believe that though.
Yeah. I mean, dude, it's like
unless you have a heart condition, it's not gonna kill you.
It'll
hurt.
Neither will driving a tractor over your leg. But it's gonna hurt really fucking bad. Is it really necessary to drive a truck? I mean, Jesus Christ. Yeah. I mean, sometimes it is. You know, people are gorillas or huge creatures of destruction that are on, you know, PCP, throwing cops through their own windows. Maybe then try tasing. I don't know.
Yeah.
The internet's crazy. You know, I see some videos out there of the shit that goes down. Mm-hmm. People just deciding to tase people because they're drunk.
Don't tase me, bro.
Yeah, and then they just like fall fat on their face, dude, and start seizuring with this thing. Then they got to go to the hospital to get them surgically removed.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, I was there.
Yeah.
Dude, that's America.
And any one of them, the soundtrack to any one of those videos could be Danzig.
Right, right. Oh,
we've
yeah.
just come full circle.
Yep.
We just did.
Yep, I'm tripping out.
Well, let's take a break, and we'll come back, and we'll get into the mind of Primate.
Yeah.
We'll be right back.
First saved message. Yeah, Larry. Guess what Master got herself yesterday? She picked it out herself, and I gave her... I didn't kiss it all. I just went to part of the store and let her buy the whole thing by herself. And she got what she wanted that way. You can't blame me for it. Anyway, call up and we'll tell you about it. Got a brand new Dell computer. Laptop. Bye.
Roll those dice. Do it. Roll it. What do you got?
It's got 1, 2, 6, 5, 3. Man, this is looking like a fucking garbage chute. Okay.
What are you going for here? Like a Yahtzee or?
Pretty much. Ones are wild and try to get pairs. Okay. It's all about getting pairs. Oh, so we got 3, 6, 3, 6. All right, come on, last roll. There it is. 3, 6. 3, 6 Moth. That's what we call that. That's the 3, 6
Mafia.
Yeah. Rolling heavy.
Well, Primate, welcome back to the show.
Thanks, man.
How was the break?
It was rejoiceful.
It was. We rejoiced.
An assaulted nut roll.
Yeah. They're delicious.
They are, dude. I don't know what's in them.
Peanuts.
Salted nuts.
Salted, yes. <some salt. laughs>
Well, the inside thing, I mean, I've had salted nuts, but that inside shit is something else.
Right, yeah.
White coconut cream, like, what is it?
Yeah, I don't know.
Nobody really knows.
It's really a mystery until I get that phone call from Pearson's and they're like, all right, let's really do this. All right, thank you, Rob Podcast. How much money do you want, Rob?
And these are gluten-free.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, that would make sense. There's no wheat.
Manufactured on shared equipment with tree nuts.
Tree nuts.
Go figure that this was manufactured with... What are tree nuts?
I don't know.
I guess there's a nut tree.
Do peanuts come from a tree?
I actually have a peanut plant in my yard. I could bring them in and show you. The leaves are really intriguing on the plant. They close, mm-hmm. like, whenever they have enough sun, so they don't burn out, or, like, once it gets dark. And then, like, when the morning comes, they, like, open up.
Wow.
It's kind of cooler.
You do have a primate here has a crazy garden. Mm-hmm. Crazy. You got a little bit of everything going there.
Yeah. Whatever I could get my little snaggly hands on.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, let's talk. First, let me ask you this. Is there anything, this is before music or anything, is there anything crazy that you can do that, like, nobody else can do? You got, like, some crazy special superpowers? Can you masturbate with your feet? Don't show me. I'm just asking. What can you do?
What can I do?
What can you do?
I mean, I don't think there's much that I can do that anybody else can't do, but... I could tell you the things that I like to think I do that most people don't do.
Okay.
And how far back are we going here again?
Long as you can still do it.
Right. Well,
whatever.
So let's break it down. Like, I blow glass. I was recreationally in college. I went to blow glass. I do ceramics, throwing pottery and making stuff on a wheel, which I got started in high school. I also breakdance, which I started the UWRF of River Falls Breakdance Club.
Okay.
With a cat from New York, Brooklyn, and a cat from Detroit. That's where I got a lot of my hip-hop knowledge, information, and I can beatbox really well. And let's see, what other things do I do? Man, you know, I run the gamut. Dude, I try to do everything. I'm a jack-of-all-trades.
Right.
I can do anything.
I like to think of myself as a jack of all trades, but I can beatbox worth shit.
Mm-hmm.
I can't break dance, and I've never blown glass. So, But that's awesome, man. That's cool. I did not know that. See, this is get to know Primate here, right here.
Yeah, let's break it down.
Yeah, break it down. Break it down.
Break it down, son.
So you're a producer.
Mm-hmm.
You're an MC.
Yeah.
You're a DJ.
You got it.
A beatboxer.
Uh huh.
Which I just learned. And now your latest project is, as you said earlier, Meteor Mouth, the project you're working on with Capacity.
Mm-hmm.
And now, what? Tell us about that.
Yeah, so I was... I got to go back to, like, how me and him even, like, started hanging out. Mm-hmm. You know, we knew each other, whatever, loosely, and then kicked it a couple of times, and then we realized that we were both going through, like, a job shift at the same time. So I had 2 weeks off when he had 2 weeks off, like literally the same 2 weeks. So we're like, whoa, this is pretty crazy. We should work on an album or make a song. At least, so we made one song. We're like, dude, let's just keep making songs these 2 weeks and try to make something. And so that's what we did, dude. And we started hanging out and started putting them together about kind of what we wanted to rap about. And as we kept going, we realized that we're on this kind of crazy Armageddon theme of international toxic warfare kind of tip with beats that were really all off the MP and kind of unique electronic sounding, but still with like super hard beats. And yeah, man, we just started cranking out tracks.
Now, are these all your beats?
There's one beat I didn't produce on the project, and then named Soundsmith.
Okay.
Produced that one. He's down in Arizona.
Okay.
But
where did that one come about?
Well, I met Soundsmith on my first album release at 7th Street Entry probably 3 years ago or so.
Okay.
And he was like shooting photos and just hanging out. It was a cool show at 7th Street. We had like, you know, body painting chicks and a bunch of dope artists. Carnage hosted it. Mm-hmm. And it was really tight. And he took pictures. Come to find out who he really was, he's this dope producer that makes some really ill beats. Mm-hmm. And so we've always just been in touch. And I was on a SoundCloud peeping his beats. Go check out Soundsmith's beats, by the way. And I was just commenting, you know, this one's a banger. He hit me up, asked me if I wanted it, showed it to Cap. And that's actually the first track that got us started.
Okay.
Was a beat that I didn't even produce because I just had it. You know, I was like, oh, check this one out. And I had already had some stuff written to it. So it was easy to kind of just, you know, I didn't have the second verse done, you know, so it was perfect because it was just sitting there and he just came in and crushed it. So we're like, you know, let's work on some more stuff.
Okay. So is this an EP or is it a full album?
What's the difference again, Rob?
Well, I would say an EP is usually about 8 to 9.
Oh, okay.
No more than 9 tracks. If it's more than 9, that's a fucking album.
Okay.
That is an album.
Okay. Because this is 10 with the, ooh, is it 9 right or 10?
That.
Yeah,
oh,
right on.
Oh, you're teetering on that line now.
Yeah, I think it's I think it's 9, actually. I think it's 9.
Okay.
I think it's 9. We were going to have 10 with a different beat from this guy, A Scratch, but we didn't have time. Like, the album's already out. So
now, if it is 10, I just want this to be known. 10 tracks could be grandfathered into an EP.
Mm-hmm.
That could still be
considered. Well, I mean, where does the EP come from? You know, it's extended play, and the traditional amount of play time is about 3 to 4 songs.
Okay.
On an album. Because they came on, the EPs would be on a 45.
Right.
So traditionally, they're about 3 to 4 songs.
Additional tracks from the album.
Yeah, or
following an album.
Sure. Yeah. Or like a release, a lot of radio releases, you know, would do like an EP, like. Mm-hmm. Because they're a lot cheaper, you can get your good stuff out, you know, and then
I see what you're saying.
Build for the LP is the long play, so that's where you can get into your
10 plus tracks,
6 plus tracks,
6 plus.
I don't think you could. Well, I mean, this is historically speaking on record production.
The lines
term
have
EP
been blurred. Technology.
Exactly. So where the term EP and LP really come from is an outdated technology. It's like saying, is that like on a floppy disk or on, you know, snail mail.
Right.
It's like, what? Like, why are you using terms that related to it's some the terms got grandfathered in for the idea, you know, of like a quick little project or like your summation of, you know, your life's work, I guess. I don't know, but I consider like 9 songs to be it's a good listening. It's a good listening. I don't really give a fuck. If it's EP or LP, I could give a shit, dude. I could. Brainstorm.
What if we call that's the name of the album?
Yep, Brainstorm.
What if we call it the EP LP? I mean, well, Brainstorm EP LP. If anybody asks you again, call it an EP LP.
It's an album.
Right.
Okay. I talked to somebody of
you know
of
what that is that is the bottom line is whatever the hell you want it to be because
it's
the
an
artist.
Album. It's not an EP. It's not an LP. It's an album, dude. Like the,
we just went through all that to come to that conclusion.
Yeah,
it has
a loose kind of story or feel going to it of like the summation of kind of shit happening, but then we also come through where it's kind of after the storm type feel.
Okay,
and Yeah, so it's a good mix of vibes. If it was all one vibe, I would say, yo, this is our 4 or 5 song, 6 song EP of of this. But I think we do have some kind of other stuff going on. There's a lot of samples. I put a lot of like vocal samples of people talking and other weird shit like that. So it kind of stretched out the time.
Cool. Okay, so when will the album be out then?
I mean, August 3rd is the release party. Okay. So I would say that if you come to the release party, you will definitely get the album on August 3rd. I'm not sure when we're going to have it for online. I haven't really figured out the strategy for what we're going to do online, if it's going to be a free download or if it's going to be like a Dropbox link. Or if I'm going to put it on iTunes and charge $300 for the album or what. So, yeah. You know, that's it'll all come out and be available out there. But the release party is really where I'm pushing people to because it, we're putting a lot of work into the physical CD, actually. I met a guy through this event called Art Night at Gamut Gallery downtown, which is actually where the release is. At Gamut Gallery, this really cool art space across from Hilton on Marquette. I think it's like 1006 Marquette. But they have a night where they invite artists to come make art for $5. And I was out there hanging out, listening to the music and just making art and whatever. Met a guy who does like kind of like pointillism, and he does prints. He's a printmaker.
Okay.
And so he made us actually, I think, like 60 prints of an image that he's going to fold the print to put the CD in. And so it's kind of a unique package.
Oh, wow, that's cool.
And just totally bypassing, you know, any kind of barcoding or anything like that. I mean, obviously, those are necessary for some people and some things, but I'm more into like, you know, creating something unique and, and kind of special because it's going to be a really cool time, a really cool show, a really cool album that I'm really stoked on, and I want to have something unique to send it out in. So,
you know, I got to say, I feel kind of bad about I've known Capacity for a while. Probably one of my favorite that I'm not like a personal close friend with, you know, but I'm more of an acquaintance, you know, but like anytime in passing, it's like always friendly. And, I worked with him on the Early Birds album. I did the artwork for the Early Birds album.
Oh, nice.
And you finding that guy over anything is
he's going to charge us materials cost, which is $30.
Awesome. So awesome. And I mean, whatever he's doing is 100 times better than anything I could have come up with.
Wow.
That is just very unique, and, you know, for a local project like that, fucking awesome.
Yeah.
Just
yeah.
awesome.
I'm stoked. I like things that come together organically like that.
Right, absolutely. Yeah. And I love Capacity, man. He works with anybody. Anybody. And I don't mean in any disrespectful way. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I love that he does that. He does side projects, little projects with other people, and whether it takes off or not, you know, whatever. I think Early Birds kind of started that way, and now they've made a couple albums. Him and my buddy MC Rents did like a 5-6 song project called Siamese Papadopoulos.
Nice.
And you guys got the Meteor Mouth thing. Very cool. I look forward to hearing that, man.
Yeah.
Anything I've heard of you, I definitely dig.
Oh, yeah?
I dug into your history.
Nice.
So your first official album was the Awfully Nice album, is that correct?
That was the first official, yeah. That project had a barcode on it, and I was in Fifth Element, so I would consider that to be, in my mind, you know, my first official one, but I definitely made projects before that, you know, that weren't official. Those got me to where I was then, you know, to do that.
Because I did see on your Bandcamp page, you had the Funstrumentals.
Yeah.
Were those just earlier beats that you'd make?
Yeah, earlier beats that, you know, were just hanging out, and a lot of people really liked my beats, kind of like a Blockhead story. They didn't necessarily hate my rapping, but certain people just love beats, just like I love beats. And, you know, so I threw those out there because I was like, yo, like, here they are. Like, if people want to rap on them, these are dope. Like, I made these, and I had more for myself to go around, and so, those are all instrumental beats that are up there for free download.
Okay. And then the Awfully Nice. Is this the correct chronological order? Was the Funstrumentals. There you go. Thank you. Awfully Nice, The World is Flat, which is free on your Bandcamp. Downloaded that today. Yes. And then Fresh Cut Grass.
Yeah.
Featuring Mad Dukes.
Mad Dukes.
Who is Mad Dukes?
Mad Dukes is an MC out of Buffalo, New York.
Okay.
I connected with him through Deep Thinker Records, which is a record label out there.
Okay.
Homie Tone, what up Tone, runs that. And I met him through Big Zach, actually.
Okay.
When I was in River Falls, I was throwing a festival out there for my college and hit up Zach to see if Cancer could maybe slide through. And he shot me to one of Tone's artists on tour called Pauly Rhyme, who's from San Diego. So I met Pauly Rhyme. And then through them having a good experience playing with me there, they, you know, were like, yo, this cat was cool, whatever. And I was throwing shows down there. And so I was his connect for a while to get his touring artists to go through. And that's how I met kind of a lot of Pseudo Slang from Chicago, Race Car from Chicago, which is also a palindrome.
Yes.
And so Deuce Ellis, also, who's a Buffalo artist, Buffalo / Brooklyn. And then Mad Dukes, who's the recent dude that I met up with. Same story with us. Like, we had some time to kick it and just started making beats. We made a couple of tracks together and just kind of conjoined some loose ends that we had to make a project for that.
Okay.
Which has some really cool songs on it, I think, actually.
So that was just last year.
Yep. And he's coming back out, actually, September 11th at the Poor House.
Okay.
I'm putting him up at a show over there. Got that going on, so keep an eye out for that. He'll be coming through with the dude Fresh Kills from Canada.
Okay.
This is a live MPC playing DJ.
Okay.
So he plays all of Duke's beats live. Dude, he's dope.
So when you play live, are most of your tracks your own beats?
Yeah. Well, I do different things when I play live. Sometimes I'll use my MPC and play beats off there.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I'll play off a Serato with other beats I have. And a producer named Evil Science, my buddy Carl 2.0. 2.0 is like an old DJ name that he went by. He's Evil Science. He's a producer. Makes some pretty wild dubstep to trap to hip-hop to kind of whatever beats. And he produced a lot of The World is Flat beats.
Okay.
I produce some of it too. It's kind of half and half.
Okay.
But so yeah, it's either his beats or there's a Doze from Sioux Falls. I got a track Smoking in Public, which is pretty popular.
Video.
And a video. Yeah.
Featuring Link.
Featuring Link.
Yep.
Yes, sir. Smoking in Public.
For those unfamiliar, Link is your dog.
My
hairless, and I don't mean in the
dog.
Sense of, you know, my homie, my boy, my dog. Literally your canine. Yeah. Mexican hairless.
I own him.
Yes. Hey, own is such a strong word.
No, yeah, I have his title.
Okay. So
yeah,
yes,
it's in my room, yeah.
Yeah.
No, it's not really, but I came across, he was given to me, and he's a pretty special dude.
Yeah.
Little hairless, miniature Mexican hairless dude. He's awesome, man. He's a superstar.
Yeah.
He'll be bigger than I'll ever get, for sure.
As a fan of dogs myself, I like when artists, musicians make their pets and more dogs than anything, you know, part of their, you know, repertoire,
right,
essentially.
Right.
For instance, the band Sublime.
Right. Remember right.
Louis Dog.
Yeah.
He was a famous Dalmatian.
Rest in peace.
Yeah. And that was cool, but I you know, now that I can't think of it, I can't really think of anyone any other artist that really was like, you know, they put their animal in the front.
Yeah, maybe like a boa or something, some 80s hair band. But
right.
There's not too many.
That's why dogs are just like, you know, they'll hang out. They'll come on tour with you. Just pull over and let them take a shit once in a while. You know what
yep,
I mean?
Yep.
They just want to party.
Oh,
most
yeah.
dogs like to drink beer.
Link, actually, he loves beer. He can't have too much because of the gluten and all the shit that's in beer.
Okay.
He's very sensitive to what he ingests, so he can only have a little bit or he'll, like, get hives and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
He likes wine.
Okay.
Yep.
He's sophisticated.
To say the least.
Yeah. Since he's a Mexican hairless, does he like...
Chorizo.
Okay, that's the beer I was thinking of.
Oh, that's actually a Mexican meat, chorizo.
Okay.
It's mixed with a lot of spices, so it's spicy, but it also
that's
is
what,
high in fat content.
What the hell am I thinking of then? Del Sequis?
Bodello?
Is what is that? How you say it? Dos Equis?
Dos Equis, yeah, that's probably the most American Mexican beer.
Okay, that's what I'm
But Modelo is the jam.
Okay. What is Modelo? That's a Mexican
it's
beer?
It's a Mexican beer, yeah.
Okay. And that's Link's favorite?
No. I don't know. He doesn't really have a favorite, whatever, you know, Papa's drinking that he can sip on. He's right. Cool with.
Yeah. So what else can you tell me about your career? Where so you said earlier that that your buddies in your breakdancing clique, whatever, in college was kind of where you got your start.
Yeah,
is that when you first like started writing? And
well, I first started writing actually in high school.
Okay.
I got big into I was in kind of you know the punk stage of my life, the hard rock, the you know, Godsmack, Marilyn Manson, 93X, life of rebelling against
right.
anything.
What city is this? Where'd you grow up?
I grew up in Osceola, Wisconsin, which is right across the border, a nice little town on the river, St. Croix. But yeah, I started in my high school we had a rap-off mm-hmm. for our Christmas party, and the whole school participated in this mock rap, because it's rap, you know, the double entendre of rapping presents and rapping, and everyone was a joke. It was always a joke, and people would be like, change, give some food, because it was a fundraising thing. And I actually like wrote my first kind of song mm-hmm. for it and rapped it to my whole student body over a big Will beat from St. Paul. Some producer, somebody handed me a CD with some cool beats on it. And pretty much captivated my entire student body mm-hmm. and killed it and won the contest. And people came up to me and started introducing me to their friends. And so I met a bunch of people that also did it from that area, right. two of which now I live with here.
Okay.
So
nice.
That was kind of my start into that thing because I was good at it, I guess.
Right.
You know, I can't say, man, it was bizarre. I choked up one bar because I realized what I was doing in the middle of doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Rapping up, because it was my chance for me that I saw to say whatever I wanted to my entire student body.
Yeah.
So I was talking about, you know, political issues, like conscious things. And as I started getting into it, I saw the eyeballs of the people I was, you know, projecting my thoughts into. And mm-hmm. it caught me because I wasn't ready for that.
Right.
And so that was my start. It's almost a drug, really.
Yeah.
That feeling where you can kind of shock someone into like what you're doing.
Mm.
And so, yeah.
And you let them get to you for a second.
I let them get to me for a second, and yeah. it got real hot, man. Yeah. I'll tell you what, whatever shirt I was wearing, it felt pretty warm under. But I ended up pulling through, man. I snapped out of it, yeah. remembered where I was going, and then killed the rest of it, yeah. you know. So
nice.
Persevered, and yeah, such is the story.
So if you had to label what the music that you make, what would you call it?
Well, recently it's been more, I would say, like experimental hip-hop.
Okay.
But it's definitely a lot of the stuff I write is politically motivated. Even if it's about smoking weed,
mm-hmm.
there's a message behind the song more than just smoke weed in public and get caught by cops and run from them. It's about right. being who we are at our homes and inside
mm-hmm.
around other people so that we can become acclimated about what's actually everyone else is doing. Because I personally think about 80% of the population smokes weed. Maybe not that much, but a large amount. Probably
right.
60% are okay with it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that we're in a culture of isolation. A lot of Americans consider themselves independent, but really they're isolationists.
Okay.
And so that was kind of a song indirectly approaching some of that stuff and a lot of it. So heavily politically motivated, man, a lot. So that's what kind of drove me to do a lot, to write a lot, to throw a lot of shows, to do a lot of things, is because I had a drive to kind of change some of the stuff going on.
Okay. Who do you have any big influences locally here? Or nationally. You
know. Yeah, I mean, locally, shoot, like Big Zach, man, I now live with, which I, you know, am blessed to wake up with the legend of the Twin Cities hip hop mm-hmm. community. But I mean, even back when I was in River Falls and had people, you know, coming out to my shows so I could afford to pay some of these cats from the Minneapolis scene,
mm-hmm.
that was a hot time for me because I was getting, people were hitting me up and I'm in River Falls, but right. they're sick of playing Minneapolis for the same people.
Mm-hmm.
And they heard, you know, there's dope college shows to go play, so
right.
I started getting like Cancer to come out, got Carnage and Desdemona to come out, Got Spy MC, Shelto, and Sean Anon to come out, and met all those guys, and you know, the list goes on, really. Go Ahead and Die, I remember they're now called Moody Black,
okay,
on the Fake Four. But I was, I feel like I was one of those guys that really extended a helping hand to them to get them exposure around places, because I really liked their art that they were doing. And but I mean, yeah, like, you know, Big Zach, I bumped his albums all the time, man, and you know, Cancer and whatnot. So to be able to actually book shows with them and bring them out and become friends with them was really cool. And he also, you know, he's the kind of guy where he'll connect you, you know, like he's not just trying to take your money and be like,
right,
thanks for the show. He's like, oh, you were actually pretty dope. Like, you should work on this, this, and this, and also talk to this person and this person. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, there's this party going here if you want to come, Jake. Like, you're a cool dude. Like, blah, 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 blah. And, like, people like that, man, like, I owe everything to an extent, because, right, like, they reaffirmed, you know, to keep going with the vision and the, you know, whatever you're on. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of people that do the opposite, you know.
Right.
And they want to hate on,
very
on
one-sided
kids. And, yeah, and they want to... They just want to impress you about how dope they are, you mm-hmm. know, and, you know, take your money and run type of people.
Right.
And I quickly weeded those people out of, you know.
And isn't there a, on the world, is it The World is Flat that has a Big Zach track?
It has a Big Zach track, yeah. It was a song that I helped him record at the time, and I wanted to, it was weird because I wanted him on it, you know, mm-hmm. and I wanted to get a feature with him, but we didn't hash it out. We couldn't, it's a weird thing to, like, you know, try and sometimes make a track with somebody that you're around all the time with when you have, like, these, you know, kind of superficial boundaries about, you know, you're this guy, like, you're not just this dude that I'm living with, like, you're actually this guy. So, but I still wanted him on there, and he wanted to be on it and to support it. So we ended up getting a track of one of his that him and Gabe Garcia made,
okay,
that I helped to engineer the okay. whole thing and whatnot, and he let me throw that on there. And I produced a couple other songs for him too. One of the songs I've produced for Big Zach, he considers one of his best songs that he never performs and most people don't even know about. It's mm-hmm. called Strange Dreams.
Okay.
It's about being at a festival and hooking up with thinking about hooking up with a chick,
mm-hmm.
and goes through the story about what he thinks happened, only to realize that he's still on stage rapping to the chick.
Nice.
Yeah.
And so that's not even released yet, or
that's on what album is that on? Shoot, I can't believe I can't. It's the one that has the Duende Kids on the front of it. It's online. It's on iTunes. It's really okay. the only place it's okay. up. I've been trying to get it up more on YouTube and things like that. But maybe I'll post it on the page and with some other links to some stuff.
Cool.
But yeah.
You know what? I want to try something here. The last episode I had Rapper Hooks on, and his DJ, old DJ that he's been playing with, DJ Snuggles. I don't
mm-hmm.
know if you're familiar with him.
Yeah.
He's a pretty good beatboxer.
Oh yeah,
came in, did the beatbox, Hooks just basically freestyled over the beatbox. Let's have you drop a beatbox. We're gonna record it, we're gonna go back, and you're gonna drop a freestyle in there.
Okay,
you want to do that?
Okay, yeah, let's do it.
All right, cool. Let's
you ready?
Yeah, you want to just drop the beat right now?
Sure. So it's like all right, yeah. If you ever asked your shoe, hey, how does my foot feel? When you're making so many moves that even your seat couldn't sit still? I showed a thug his brain. He was like, damn, I never knew this could kill. I wonder whose thoughts I should steal. Selling fishing poles, cause now I'm the real deal. Y'all must be caping the fake, cause you claim you're keeping it real. Y'all don't speak when you feel when you speak. That's why your lyrics and beats should never peek in my tweets.
Hey, thanks for doing that.
Hey, not a problem. It was really fun.
Yeah. So people want to check out Primate, where can we go online?
You know, primate.com, P-R-H-Y-M, the number 8.com. We'll forward you to my Bandcamp. You can download all of my stuff for free, I think, and you're more than welcome to buy any of it if you're so inclined to support me, although I have a ton of money, so...
You don't need it.
Yeah, I really don't. You just take it all, you know, so... But find me there. I got a YouTube channel, too. I got some... videos on. The Flying Monkeys video is up on there, which I'm pretty proud of. It's me doing all live beat production. If you haven't seen that yet, I strongly encourage it. All
right. Well, yeah, thanks for doing the show, man. Any last words?
Man, you know, respect the name. Live by the name Primate, you know what I mean? We're all beyond humans, we're all animals, you know? So I try to interconnect with everything. And that's the mission of the name, you know? So big ups to Rob, you know, thank you for doing this. Come to the Meteor Mouth show. If anyone's about it, get the Meteor Mouth stuff. Check it out. I guarantee you. You can find me and talk to me if you think it's whack, and I'll accept it. Because I guarantee you that it'll blow you away. So
guaranteed.
Yep. Yeah.
I'll guarantee.
August 3rd at the Gamut Gallery from 7 to 10 p.m. is the release in conjunction with the Ocean Tech art show This Old Mouse, where people make art projects out of found electronic waste. Mm-hmm. So that's going to be going on at our CD release party, which I'm not sure if other artists are doing things like that or not. So, but yeah, you should come check it out. It's going to be a dope time. And thank you, Rob.
.com. Chewbacca balls.
Slithering, glittering, rubbing on your skin and shit. Talking all intelligent, spending really generous. Well, this time she struck and missed. Lucky me, I heard she got venomous. Out to them snakes I haven't met yet. Stay clear from the monkey rapping in your headset. He's just trying to act right, still nursing the last bite. You don't know the half, like the past was last life. Yeah, right, it ain't luck if you're always lucky. Wish you used protection when you're eye fucking me. Elusive tools are confusing, moving like the head of Medusa. Don't let me fool ya. I love to school you on the art of making love, but that part of my heart is already taken up. So I suggest you fill up someone else's void. Work your little black magic on some poor helpless boy. I put the pistol on the shelf and use a selfish toy. At least you be honest with your partner. I respect you, that's why I ain't trying to part her. Let the serpent spawn, it's time to slither in my girl's arms.